I want us to think about fathers this morning. This is a day that we reflect, we honor our fathers as a culture. And so Paul Harvey once defined fatherhood with a couple different thoughts from Paul Harvey. He said, "A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father never feels worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him." Fatherhood. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Job is a powerful book about suffering. And it teaches us a lot of lessons about us and our God. But it also shows us a godly man and a godly father. And I want us to just reflect on just a few scriptures from Job and notice the journey of a father. So Job 1:1, as this book begins, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. The book begins just telling us, hey, Job is he's a man of God. And God has blessed him greatly. We read on and see that Job has many flocks and herds and servants. And he is a man of prominence. But he has a blessing of 7 sons and 3 daughters. And our scripture reading this morning reminds us a part of that, Psalm 127. Says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord." It's true that a mother bonds with a child, her child, you know, during the months of pregnancy, those 9 months, a mother bonds with a child. But I've heard time and again fathers talk about fatherhood and how it wasn't till they first held that baby in their arms that it really hit them. It is an overwhelming experience when you first become a father and you hold that baby. I remember my firstborn, Liz, 6 pounds, 4 ounces. As a father, as a man, that you're holding this life and it doesn't weigh anything. And it is helpless and it is precious and it is overwhelming. And on a side note, somehow when you put that 6 pounds in a car carrier and you carry it around like this, it becomes 80 pounds. I still don't know how that happens. But children are a blessing that you really can't put into words. And fatherhood is unique. Verse 5, reading on, it says that something Job would do, his children were grown and they would have feasts. They would invite each other over and they would have feasts and enjoy time together. And verse 5 says, "When the days of the feast had run their course, Job would sin and consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did continually." This is impressive to me. This is a picture of a godly father. A godly father is concerned about the spiritual well-being of his children above all things. He's concerned about the spiritual well-being of his children. He thinks about how they are doing. He prays for them and their future. This VBS was kind of a milestone for me because I no longer have a child participating in VBS. But it was also really special to me because to have all 3 of my daughters serving in VBS, that is a wonderful thing for a father. It's what we as fathers wish for. It's what we want. We want our children walking with God. This is that Job, he would send and consecrate his children. And consecrate means to be washed, to be pure, to be in a right relationship with God. And that's what Job wanted for his children. And this is a reminder. I want to remind dads who are still raising your children, now is the time to keep first things first. Dads, if you're still raising your children, keep it up. Keep it up. The fact that here it is, Father's Day, And as fathers, we get a couple days a year where we really get special privileges. One is our birthday and the other is Father's Day. So the fact that you are here with God's people worshiping God today, this morning, keep it up. Good for you. Good for you, because now is the time when our kids are growing up that we want to continue to keep ourselves and our family pointing to God. Let us make sure our children know that as a family, we love God first and foremost. So, as the book of Job continues, we see that angels came before God. They would, excuse me. They would come and present themselves before God, and the devil did so as well. So they come, and God makes this classic statement. Verse 8, God says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on earth. He's blameless, he's upright, fears God, turns away from evil." This is another picture. This is another description of what a good father is. A good father fears God. He fears God. The fact is, it's in man's nature to try not to fear. As men, we are wired to be fearless. And that's our desire. However, I have noticed that there is not an exception to a man that is afraid of something. I've talked to different guys, and I have my own fears, but it's kind of interesting to me. You know, they're all afraid of something. It might be spiders. Might be snakes. If it's not snakes, it might be clowns. It can be all kinds. Dads are afraid of something, okay? It might be heights. It might be public speaking. Dads have some kryptonite, right? There is something that gets us. And yet it's in our nature to not be afraid, to be fearless. And this is a reminder, men, it is in our wiring to be confident and fearless. However, a wise man fears God. We need to fear God. And fear God in a way of deep respect and admiration for the Almighty. That's what Job did. He feared God. And also, he turned away from evil. There's nothing more dangerous to a family than evil and sin. There's nothing more dangerous to our families than sin. Church, pray for our fathers. Right? Pray for our fathers. Because they're leading families, and they need God's strength to continue to fear Him and turn away from evil. So Satan, he responds to God by saying, well, Job he's only so good and faithful because you give him everything. And so we have this contest, so to speak, between God and Satan. Excuse me, and Satan. And God allows Satan to take things from Job. And so reading on in chapter 1, we find servants coming and telling Job that, Job, your oxen and donkeys have been stolen. Your servants have been killed. Your sheep have been killed. You've lost your camels. These things come in waves. And then finally, your sons and daughters have also been killed. They've also been lost. In verse 20, Job rises. He tears his robe. He shaves his head. And these would be signs of mourning and grief. He falls to the ground and he worships. What an example. I have so much respect for Job. In this deep time of overwhelming grief, Job worships. And the fact is, as Christians, we are a people who worship God in good times and bad. Right? We worship God in both. And any given Sunday, just like today, some of us here are here and you have a lot to celebrate in life. You have a lot to celebrate right now. Things are going well. And there are some of us here that your heart is heavy this morning. Your heart is worrisome. You're in the midst of a struggle. You're in the midst of a trial. But even in our trials, we worship God then too, don't we? Because even though life has changed, our God has not changed. And verse 21 says, This is Job's statement. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What an example. I love it. When tragedy strikes, the world needs dads who will have a steady hand at the helm. Isn't that right? When tragedy strikes, we need godly men who will have a steady hand, just like Job did, who will stay firmly planted at the foot of the throne of God, who will praise God in the hard times, just like we do in the good times. And so, the book of Job is about the fact that he is afflicted. He has all this loss, and now Satan will be allowed to afflict him with sores and sickness. This book is about Job's confusion. He doesn't know why. His friends will come and tell him time and time again, "Job, you've done something wrong. You have messed up." And Job knows he has not. He says, "I've not done anything." This, he knows it's from God somehow, but he's not guilty and he's confused. And he cries out to God. But Job never turns away from God. He never turns away from God. Church, no matter what happens, don't ever turn away from God.
Amen.
No matter what happens. Amen. Right? Fathers, come back.
Yes.
No matter how the devil whips us, don't turn away from God.
Right.
If we think life is hard when we're serving the all-loving God, you try serving the father of lies. Don't try it. We need to stay faithful to God, even when we don't understand. So we can cry out. You know, John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation." And that's something that goes against our upbringing as Americans, because we have this spirit of a entitlement to pursue happiness. And that's okay to an extent, but we have to be reminded. Children need to be reminded, life will have troubles. It will have tribulation. It will have disappointments and loss and suffering and hurt and pain. But in the uncertainty of life, we can be certain that God is good and He's always working. Romans 8:28. So at the end of this book, Job, you know, the one thing he did wrong, because really ultimately he's held up, God rewards Job, He blesses him, God gets on to his friends. However, Job did step outside the lines in that he questioned God improperly. He basically demanded answers from God. And it's a reminder to us, the book of Psalms has one after another of David crying out, "God, help me. God, I don't understand." And God accepts that. He understands that. But let us not demand anything from God. He is the giver. He is the one who loved us first. Look at Job 42, verse 1. Here's kind of, after this all runs its course, at the end, Job, he answers the Lord. He says, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." It's a great statement. This is one that would be great to hang on the wall of our homes. God can do all things. No purpose of His can be thwarted. As fathers, we have a desire to feel capable. We have a desire to feel in control, never shaken. Throughout my 21 years of marriage to Stephanie, numerous times I really don't know something, but I'll act like I do, and I'll roll with confidence in the midst of ignorance, and I do that numerous times, and I'd get her a bunch early on, but anymore it takes quite a bit to get one over on her. But I'm just kind of hardwired that way. Men have a desire to be capable and knowing and confident and in control. And this gets difficult as fathers because there are many things outside our control. But we have a Father in heaven who can do all things. He can do all things. And that is so good for us, because as dads, we don't want to be vulnerable. Ladies, that's why we don't want to talk about our feelings. Okay? We don't want to talk about them, because if we talk about them, we got to feel them. We don't want to feel them. We don't want to feel vulnerable. I'm not saying that it's good. I'm just saying that's how we are. But we have a God. And fathers, let us anchor to our God. He is in control. He does know all things. All right, reading on second part of verse 3 says, Job says, "Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge?" He's quoting God. "Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful me which I did not know." If you look down in verse 6, we see that Job, he says, "I despise myself, I repent in dust and ashes." Job repented. And I want to make a point that a great father is one who's humble enough to admit to his wife and children when he falls short. That's not easy. It's not easy to admit, I messed up. I was too harsh. I was too hard. I was too selfish. I should not have done that. That's a great example of Job's. All right. Verse 13, this is how God rewarded Job in the end. Just a couple more verses. And it says that Job, in the end, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. God gave him more. He called the name of the first daughter Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third. And I want to give you the meaning of these names. I think we can relate to this. Jemima means turtle dove. It was a symbol of beauty and love. Keziah is related to cassia, a plant that was used for perfumes. Karen Hapuk probably means horn of antimony, and it referred to a black powder that was used for highlighting the eyes. And all three have the names have a meaning of beauty. This is just a reminder of fathers. We see such beauty in our children. We have such adoration for our sons, for our daughters. We can't put that into words. But this says that Job gave them an inheritance. He gave the daughters an inheritance even among the brothers. It makes the point that as dads, and I want to say this on behalf of dads, we're not always good at communicating to our children our love. As dads, we're just not always good at communicating things like that. But dads do it in different ways. Dads are givers. They're protectors, but they're givers. And at the end of this book, we see Job was blessed with more children, and he gave. It's how dads love. And then I want to end with this verse that says, "After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his sons, his son's sons, 4 generations, and Job died an old man full of days." That picture, this is God's love. This is God's giving. God is the first giver. He's the ultimate giver. He teaches us to give. And so just a reminder, fathers, we love by giving. And wives and children, we want you to know that. If your father is still living, honor him. Pray for him. To lead a family and be responsible for leading them spiritually, it is not an easy load to carry. And so pray for them. Fathers, let us be thankful for the gift of fatherhood. It is truly a gift, and may God be our guide in all we do. We're going to sing a song, Boundless Love. We've come to praise God Almighty today, and we want to do that. We want to close with a song of honoring God. If you're here this morning and there's a need you have, we'd like to help you with that, pray with you, assist you in any way. If there's one this morning who you're not walking with God, you're not in a right relationship with God, we'd love to help you with that. If there's one that needs to give their life to Christ, become a child of God, have their sins washed away, let us help you as we stand and sing.
Boundless love.